Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
2020 has been a year like no other.
It's going to be special. They're going to talk about it forever, baby.
This football season is certain to follow that lead.
Might have been reading a press clipping that they're so good because they didn't show up today.
Questions like never before surround every team, both on the field and off it.
I'm not really sure what's going on down there and why they made this move.
Will Mahomes barbecue the record books?
On third down and 15, and Mahomes guns it for 44 yards.
Can Brady recapture the jewels for a gang of pirates?
The clock's ticking on everybody.
Will Trevor Lawrence make the Tigers the kings of the jungle?
Lawrence gonna go and look long, one he lost. Ross makes a one-handed grab.
Every week, the answers are right here, right now. It's Sunday Morning Football with your host, D.A., on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Sunday morning to you, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. Damon Amendolara here on CBS Sports Radio. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. What a show we have for you this morning. Coming up in 20 minutes, excessive celebration. Your best play-by-play calls of this weekend's college football action. And we have some of the most bizarre finales and play calls and decisions in college football's recent memory to go back over coming up here in 20 minutes. Also, in 40 minutes, let's talk to Gary Brackett, who's going to join us coming up on the show, a Super Bowl champion. In 40 minutes, he was a member of that 2006 Indianapolis Colts team. As the Colts are surging in the AFC South, we'll talk to Gary about those Colts. Coming up next hour on the show, our guy in the desert, Amal Shah, is going to join us. And we have our Vegas Virtuoso segment. Also, inside what happened in Thanksgiving's football games, two of which were played, one of which wasn't. In Detroit, will they ever get the GM and head coach right? And in Dallas, this is the darkest timeline. Plus, elsewhere in the NFC East, could the Eagles be turning the page on Carson Wentz? And in Texas, are they turning the page on Tom Herman? It's all coming up this morning here on Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio. And there's so many ways you can listen to the show. Check us out across this great CBS Sports Radio network on hundreds of affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Also on Sirius XM. Listen to us on channel 206. Check us out as well if you're streaming us on your phone, if you want to take us with you on the go. Take us with you by using the CBS Sports app. Just drop down menu and scroll to Listen Live. Also, you can listen to the radio.com app. It's a wonderful app that I use a lot for multiple radio stations. Listen to us on the CBS Sports Radio channel on the radio.com app. And you can also listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. Well, this is a humdinger of an NFL weekend, huh? You have the Denver Broncos that have now been told all four of their quarterbacks, all four of their signal callers in the depth chart will be ineligible to play today. So what does Denver do? These are all because of COVID precautions. We had a Thanksgiving night game between the Steelers and Ravens, the only game worth watching on Sunday, which was ultimately moved to today and then moved to Tuesday because of COVID precautions. And now we have word that the San Francisco 49ers will be unable to play the rest of their home games at Levi Stadium in Santa Clara. They'll have to find another destination to play the rest of their home games. The NFL is dealing with a COVID reality as we enter December. Should the NFL be concerned it can't finish this season? It is where we begin with your Sunday Gunslinger.
In football's Wild West, he shoots from the hip.
We need men like him to make towns safe for decent people.
DA is the Sunday Gunslinger.
When you have to shoot, shoot, don't talk.
All right, let's do it.
We have not had a situation in the NFL where a quarterback started under center that wasn't a natural quarterback. You have to go back to the 60s, 50 years ago, when Tom Matte started in place for the Baltimore Colts because they were dealing with big-time injuries to John Unitas and company as well on the Baltimore Colts. That's how long it has been since we've seen a non-traditional quarterback be forced to start under center. But that's what will happen today in Denver when the Broncos, later on this afternoon, 4:05 Eastern kick on Fox, will host the New Orleans Saints, and they will have to go with a split between a converted running back and a converted wide receiver under center for the Broncos. Here is Jason Lockin for a CBS Sports Insider.
If you have a quarterback who tests positive and you have other quarterbacks around him and you're still practicing, which the league allowed them to do for a couple days, despite Jeff Driskel, backup quarterback, having a positive, then you could certainly get in a scenario like this. Royce Freeman is their emergency quarterback. I think he threw the ball five times in college. He has completed some gimmick stuff in the past. You know, Hinton is a possibility, although he hasn't played the position with any regularity since 2015 at Wake Forest. They're not going to throw the ball a whole lot.
So the Broncos today against the Saints are enormous underdogs despite being at home. It's going to be some combination of Royce Freeman, as you heard Jason Lockenfora mention, a converted running back, and practice squad wide receiver and undrafted rookie Kendall Hinton. Yes, Hinton is likely to get the bulk of the starts today because at least he did throw the football and was a quarterback in college, but he is a rookie wide receiver on the practice squad. That's what we're dealing with. At Wake Forest, though, he did throw the football. Here is the situation for the NFL. They have to try to survive the next month. They've got to get through the regular season because the regular season, obviously, is being played on site. And all these guys are going home to their families and they're allowed to do what they're supposed to do in the community. Although, of course, they're being asked to be responsible and disciplined. And for the most part, we've gone through an NFL season where they have been. But now, as positives skyrocket across the country, the NFL is dealing with serious situations here where the Ravens get completely just lambasted by COVID. And so they have to move that game twice, now going to be played on a Tuesday, which means domino effect. The NFL has to then change and push games for the following weekend. You have a Ravens team that's trying to deal with going to the playoffs and remain competitive. You have a Steelers team looking to hold on to the number one seed of the AFC and remain undefeated. These are enormous, enormous moments and games to be jerking around with these teams. But, of course, this is the reality. The NFL, once we get to the postseason, unfortunately, is going to have to be in a bubble. I think this week and the ensuing weeks is going to prove that. I think we'll have all of the games played. I think the entire postseason will be executed. I think we'll have a Super Bowl. But unfortunately, it does not look like it's tenable to have these playoff games at home and have these players to and from their home and their facility and the stadium. Because if you're going to have outbreaks like this, you can't just move playoff games 4 days in advance or 4 days, push it back 4 days like they're doing with this Ravens and Steelers game. And you can't suddenly tell the Niners, had they been prepared to play a home game today, oops, sorry, your playoff game can't go off today. You'll have to find somewhere else to get everybody shifted there. It's not the fans. It's that these are logistics that the NFL is trying to deal with. And there's too many X factors when you're trying to play at home and guys are allowed to be outside of a bubble. So I think this is about survive in advance for the NFL. Get to week 17. Play all your significant, meaningful playoff inclination games. And then, unfortunately, it's a bubble. And I only say unfortunately because I think it's unfortunate to have playoff games played at neutral sites. I mean, I know that we don't have full-on stands and full-on home field advantage, but I still think it would suck for the Pittsburgh Steelers to have an AFC Championship game played in Indianapolis. But I just don't see, if this is the start of things going into the winter weather, if this is the start of things going post-Thanksgiving, I can't imagine this gets easier to be played at home sites and home stadiums as we climb into December. I can't imagine it gets easier as we get into December and January trying to play playoff games. The Broncos are down to their practice squad wide receiver, Kendall Hinton, who's going to play under center today. The big game today is between the best in football now versus the best in what football was. At quarterback, you've got Tom Brady, you've got Patrick Mahomes, and you have the Chiefs and the Buccaneers. Could this be a Super Bowl preview? Here is Patrick Mahomes.
Raiders rush 4. Mahomes retreats. Steps up into the pocket. He throws it late for the end zone. Kelce wide open. Touchdown, Kansas City. Why not? Mahomes to Kelce again to take the lead on a 22-yard touchdown pass with 28 seconds to go in regulation.
I don't know if I'm on his level yet. I mean, he is someone that's a global star. And so for me, I just try to be myself. I just go out there every single day and put in the work and try to win football games, and all the other stuff kind of comes with it. And for me, I just try to be a normal guy and live it up with my teammates and have fun doing it.
Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs on Chiefs Radio. Touchdown, Kansas City. Chiefs in Tampa Bay later on today against the Buccaneers. This one's going to be played in Tampa, Raymond James Stadium. It's a late kick on CBS, 4:25 Eastern Time. Most, if not all, of the country will get this game. This is not a Super Bowl preview because the Buccaneers won't get there. The Chiefs absolutely may. Kansas City, when you have Mahomes, that offense, that head coach, is always going to be in the conversation for the Super Bowl. And I'm not certain that the Chiefs aren't every pound as good as the Pittsburgh Steelers, even though they've got one loss. The Steelers are undefeated. I think the Chiefs' defense is the one thing that you might have to worry about. But there's been certainly times this season where Kansas City's D has very much stepped up, gotten after the passer, pass rushed well, created turnovers in that secondary, and made things happen. The reason I say this is not a Super Bowl preview is because the Buccaneers just have too many warts. We have seen this for the Bucs over the last couple of weeks. They are absolutely dependent on the big play, on the passing play, on the downfield play, and with Tom Brady at this point in his career, he simply cannot bring that to the table. They've lost 2 of their last 3 games. We have seen them get hogtied by good defenses, the Rams, the Saints twice, the Bears. And as they make their way through the rest of the season, this Chiefs game is going to be their toughest matchup. And I expect the Chiefs to win later on today. That would hand the Buccaneers their 5th loss. The good news for Tampa Bay is their final 4 games are all very winnable games. 2 against the Falcons, 1 against the Lions, 1 against the Vikings. They could be 11-5. But in the NFC, I just don't see them as good top to bottom, certainly as the Saints, who have beaten them twice. I don't think they're as balanced as the Packers, although they did whip up on the Packers. But if you look around the NFC, look, you're going to have the Rams to contend with as well. And the Rams just beat them, and I thought were dominant in doing so. You have the Seattle Seahawks out west as well. And you have an Arizona Cardinals team that's very interesting. Now, it's not that the Buccaneers can't win a game, perhaps, in the playoffs. I just don't think once they run up into the elite teams like the Saints, the Rams, or maybe the Packers in the postseason, and I know that the Packers got washed by them, that they're going to win. I see a lot of cracks right now in the Buccaneers, and it's Brady, it's running the football, it's pass protecting, it's also playing sturdy defense for 60 minutes. It's something that they're really struggling with now over the last couple of weeks. Should be very interesting, though, later on today. I'm excited about Mahomes and Brady. Who isn't? And finally, on Thanksgiving, we got to see the final straw of the disastrous Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia tenure and reign of terror in Detroit. Good riddance to those two guys as the Lions clean house after the Thanksgiving debacle.
First down and 15 for the Texans at the Detroit 40-yard line. Watson at the gun. Here's the snap. Deshaun firing deep. And he's got a man. Will Fuller. Touchdown, Houston. Watson deep to Will.
10 days ago, we looked like we had a good chance to be playoff bound. And, you know, both of those games were extremely disappointing. And it just seemed like the path going forward wasn't what we wanted it to be. So, yes, we thought this was a good time to make the change.
That was Sheila Ford Hamp of the Ford family, ownership of the Detroit Lions, making the change as Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn are gonzo. That call was courtesy of Mark Vandermeer on Texans Radio, Rock and Roll. Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn will forever be tied to the hip because they were New England Patriots' bosom buddies. And that's why Bob Quinn hired Patricia, because what Jim Caldwell was bringing to the table apparently wasn't good enough. And okay, in a vacuum, Jim Caldwell going 9-7 back-to-back years, making the playoffs one of those years, but being one and done in the postseason can be underwhelming. Jim Caldwell's never been a guy that's lit press conferences on fire. He's not a guy that gets a lot of people excited. Remember, he was a head coach in a Super Bowl with the Indianapolis Colts, so he has coached in a Super Bowl. But Jim Caldwell, granted, is not a guy that gets a lot of people all fired up. And so you might say, okay, 9-7, the Lions are just kicking around, being average, just making the playoffs. We want to be better than that. Again, in a vacuum, that can make sense. But this is the Lions. The barometer, the bar, is far lower than being 9-7. 9-7 is a pretty damn good thing, and going 3-1 on your Thanksgiving days is pretty good as well. And what Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn brought to the table, Bob Quinn said, we got to get better than this. We got to compete for championships. And he hired the wrong guy. And he hired the wrong guy because the wrong guy was friends with him from his New England Patriots days. And the wrong guy had bad people skills. And the wrong guy was a defensive guy that couldn't fix the defense. And the wrong guy simply started planting blame other places, saying, we had a lot of work to do when we took over this program, this organization. Well, if you had a lot of work to do, you certainly weren't the guy to do it. You couldn't figure it out either. Matt Patricia, remember, once upon a time wore a clown-faced Roger Goodell t-shirt off of the team plane after winning a Super Bowl. Well, who's got the red nose now? Patricia stinks. He always has stunk. That was Bill Belichick's defense. It was never Patricia's defense, and he takes over the Lions and wants to push blame that somehow, some way, going 9-7 back-to-back years and three winning seasons in four was somehow a big lift after taking over for Jim Caldwell. No, you drove it into the ground. You drove it into the ground. Not what you took over. And so good riddance to Matt Patricia. Good riddance to Bob Quinn. The Lions fan deserves better. It's been far too long. What an embarrassment on Thanksgiving. And of course it was going to go that way. Here's your nationally televised opportunity to show the country you're not as bad as all the critics would say. Oh, and there's a 41-25 nightmare. Get you fired. Sunday morning football, we are off and rolling. When we come back, excessive celebration. Wait till you hear how the Syracuse-NC State game ended. How could it happen? Also, one of the wackiest games of the college football season, Oregon, Oregon State. And how did Florida flipped the momentum of the game yesterday against Kentucky. It's all coming up as part of Excessive Celebration next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
NFL action begins next Sunday with the NFL Today, followed by a full slate of regional games. You'll say, you saw it on CBS Sports.
It's Sunday Morning Football with DA.
We appreciate you being with us on a Sunday Morning Football. We come to you live with a toll-free line, 855-212-4227, sponsored by GEICO. Whether you rent or own, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home, that's hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. That's easy. Coming up here on the show, Super Bowl champion with the Indianapolis Colts, Gary Brackett's going to join us in about 17 minutes from now, as the Colts are feeling good about their place in the NFC South. Right now, they lead the division, and they've got the Tennessee Titans on their tail. Right now, the Colts hold the tiebreaker, but they're both 7-3 on the season. And today, a 1 p.m. Eastern kick on CBS. It'll be Colts and Titans. So we will talk to Gary Brackett about this Colts team, as they've got a really good team right now that's won 4 of 5 games. They beat the Titans a couple of weeks ago. They're coming off that comeback victory over the Packers, where Green Bay led by 14 points at the break. But a dominant second half and great adjustments made by the Colts sent them to a 34-31 win. Gary Brackett's going to join us here on the show coming up in about 15 minutes from now. But every single week we here on the DA Show like to highlight the craziest moments of the college football weekend. And perhaps nothing was as crazy as the way that Syracuse and NC State ended yesterday at the Carrier Dome. Let's kick it off with Excessive Celebration.
The soundtrack of college football chaos. The announcers losing their minds.
We've got a bunch of folks down there.
He caught it.
It's Excessive Celebration.
It's going to be caught. It's a touchdown. And the Gators have won the game. I can't believe what I just saw. And this place is an insane asylum.
You may never see an ending to a game like we saw yesterday in Syracuse, New York. NC State kicks a field goal with about 5 minutes and 20 seconds to play to put them up by 7, 36-29. Now, Syracuse has had just an absolutely disastrous season. They were 1-8 coming into this game. NC State was 6-3. So the Wolfpack were certainly a better team, better coached, better talent, better all around. They led by 7 with just over 5 minutes to play. Syracuse takes over at its own 25-yard line, down 7. And almost miraculously, knowing this Syracuse offense, quarterback Rex Culpepper helps lead the Orange down the field. Now, Rex is only in there because of multiple injuries to multiple quarterbacks, and nothing has worked under center for Syracuse. But down 7, he starts to go to work. Little completion here, a little completion there. There's a big play on 3rd and 7 to Taj Harris for 26 yards. They're pushing it to NC State territory. They push all the way to the 20-yard line, and now they're inside the 10. With under a minute to play, they've got 1st and goal from NC State's 9-yard line, okay? They run the football for 2 yards. With 30 seconds to play, it's 2nd and goal from the 7. At this point in time, Syracuse has 3 shots from the 7-yard line to get the game-tying touchdown, okay? On 2nd and goal from the 7. On 2nd and goal from the 7, Rex Culpepper is stopped for no gain, okay? So now, with about 30 seconds to play and ticking, they line up for 3rd and goal from the 7-yard line. Are we following? Again, 3rd and goal from the 7-yard line. At this point in time, what Rex Culpepper can't do is take a sack. And he's under pressure, he gets flushed out, and wouldn't you know, he takes a sack at the 18-yard line. So now, as the clock ticks down, they've got no timeout. Syracuse, on 4th and goal, has to throw it into the end zone from the 18-yard line. Here's the furious end to this ridiculous game.
Let's listen.
Third and goal. Benson tight left. Further left, Johnson and then Quealy. Back to throw is Culpepper. Locks in left. Took a quick glance at Harris, who can't get open. Rolling to the right, Culpepper. Giving ground back to the 20. Has to get rid of it. At the 25, decides to run. He's at the 22 or 18. He's dropped. No timeouts. The game's going to end this way. Oh, my. 10 seconds.
Come on,
eight,
Taj. Get back.
Seven. You got to get onside. It's fourth down. You can't spike it either. Culpepper under center.
Snap
he
it.
Takes.
No!
And he spikes on fourth down. He spikes it on fourth down, and that's the ball game.
Oh, no. Matt Park on Syracuse Radio. No. Learfield IMG College. No. Rex Culpepper lost track of the downs. The quarterback lost track of the downs on third down. He takes a sack instead of throwing it away. The clock is ticking, and he spikes it on fourth down, thinking he has another play. He doesn't. That's the end of the game, and that's how Syracuse loses. Have you ever heard or seen anything like it? The quarterback, not knowing it's fourth down, spikes it on the final play of the game. No! No! Let's go to Kentucky, Florida in the SEC, shall we? This one being played at the Swamp. And Kentucky had an early lead. It was 10-7, okay? And now remember, Florida is a top six team of the country. They only had one loss on the season coming into yesterday's game. They were 6-1. And if Florida holds on to the East, they will play Alabama in the SEC championship game with a chance to go to the college football playoff. So this is a huge game for Florida to be trailing against a plucky Wildcats team. Kentucky leads 10-7 with under a minute to play before the half. And then Kentucky has to punt from deep in its own end. Little razzle-dazzle trickery. Don't look at this hand. Look over here. Here's how it sounded for the Gators radio network.
It's off to the right side, and Tony with a catch at the 45, and Tony to the 40. Tony, 35, Tony, 30. Trina Hesburg, the 20, the 15, the 10, the 5, and the touchdown! Has given Florida the lead.
Man, limited attendance? Where? Whew, that sounded like a full house at the Swamp yesterday. Mick Huber, the voice of the Gators on Gators Radio. What a tremendous trick play pulled off by the Gators. This is where Dan Mullen's ingenuity factors in. The Wildcats punted away, and the ball is going to the right side. So imagine if you're looking at the Gators return team, okay? So it's the right side of the field, the far sideline if you're looking at the TV. However, the Gators line up and their entire team swings the opposite side of the field, the near sideline, acting as though that's where the punt is going. And so the bulk of the punt coverage by the Wildcats comes to the wrong side of the field. There's an open space on the far sideline where the ball's actually going. But think about it. The punt coverage team can't see the ball. They're looking at the body language of the return team. And the body language is saying to get to the near sideline, which the Wildcats do, leaving open space on the far sideline. And the Gators take it to the house for the touchdown. That actually ends up flipping momentum of the game. It gives them a lead going into the half 14-10. And the Gators would roll in the second half to a 34-10 victory. Very, very interesting and smart play by the Gators. And finally, in terms of excessive celebration, how about the ending to Oregon, Oregon State as Chance Nolan with a quarterback sneak gives Oregon State the lead with just 33 seconds left as he comes in as the backup quarterback after an injury on the play before. Let's listen to Mike Parker on Learfield IMG College.
Fourth down, a couple of inches. Nolan tries to sneak it, and he's in! Touchdown, Beavers, for the lead! Chance Nolan, in his first snap as an Oregon State Beaver, sneaks it in, taking the snap from Nathan Eldridge. And Chance Nolan, for the injured Tristan Jebbia, scores to put the Beavers ahead 40-38 with 33 seconds to play.
This was Friday night, and what little chance Oregon had of representing the Pac-12 at the College Football Championship has gone out the window. What a wild final of plays, final minutes of this game. It was back and forth in the fourth quarter. Oregon State took a 34-31 lead. Then Oregon comes back and scores 38-34, and it takes Oregon State in a crazy series of plays and calls and missed calls and missed penalties, and then the injury to their starting quarterback and the backup quarterback on fourth down with the quarterback sneak getting in there. 41-38, Oregon State wins the old Civil War between Oregon State and Oregon, dashing the hopes of the Ducks for a college football playoff bid, although it was unlikely anyway because the Pac-12's playing so few games. And that is your excessive celebration. When we come back here on the show, Super Bowl champion Gary Brackett's going to join us to talk about the big Colts and Titans game and the surging Colts right now. That's next. But first, here is your CBS Sports Radio headlines.
You have a reservation for year-round excitement with CBS Sports. Your ticket to action.
It's Sunday Morning Football with DA.
Thanks so much for being with us, everybody. Damon Amendolar with you here on CBS Sports Radio. This is what we do every single Sunday morning, 10 until noon Eastern time, across the wonderful CBS Sports Radio Network, previewing the NFL's action on a Sunday and breaking down what happened in college football on a Saturday. Coming up next hour here on the show, we'll go out to the desert. Our Vegas virtuoso Amal Shah is going to join us here on the program. That should be a lot of fun. We always like to take a look at everything NFL, rather, from a Vegas oddsmaker's perspective and what to do with the Denver Broncos. They will be playing without a traditional quarterback under center. A converted practice squad wideout is going to be their quarterback because of COVID, knocking out all four of their QBs on their depth chart. That's coming up here in hour number two of the show. Plus, the Cowboys hit their lowest point. The Eagles could be making a change at quarterback. And in Texas, Tom Herman is feeling the heat. That's coming up at the top of the hour right here on Sunday Morning Football. So when it comes to the NFL today, with the Denver Broncos being forced to play a non-traditional quarterback under center, to me that's going to change everything around the NFL for the final month of the season. Wideout Kendall Hinton, a rookie wide receiver on the practice squad, is going to end up quarterbacking against the Saints later on today. And what's going to change about the NFL is they are going to mandate that one quarterback the entire week is quarantined, is isolated from the rest of his teammates. So it's likely to be the third or fourth string quarterback who is going to be completely removed for the entire week, and maybe they will deem one of their backup quarterbacks, third or fourth stringers, to be isolated from everybody until the end of the season. Because the one thing that the NFL cannot do is continually be searching for converted wide receivers and running backs at quarterback for playoff teams. I mean, luckily the Broncos aren't in the playoff race, but the Saints are. And so, of course, there's going to be a series of crazy competitive advantages and disadvantages in a season like this. But for the rest of the NFC, they're looking at this if they're chasing the Saints in the standings, so they're chasing the Saints in playoff positioning and saying, wait a second, New Orleans gets to play a wide receiver under center. That's the quarterback they've got to go up against. That must be nice. The line is ballooned to the Saints by more than two touchdowns in this game for obvious reasons. So I think the big change that's going to happen here is that the NFL will be forcing every team to have one quarterback that's completely distanced from the rest of the team the entire week, so that if there's an outbreak in the quarterback room and you've got to take out all of these guys like the Denver Broncos are doing today, there is one guy that has had no contact with the rest of those QBs. I think that's going to have to be the change that happens in the NFL, and you will see that for the rest of this season. This Ravens-Steelers game also is fascinating because it's still on for Tuesday night, and this is going to be the second Tuesday night game of the season. Remember, the Titans played on Tuesday night earlier in the year. But for the Ravens and Steelers, this is a huge game. And what happens to Pittsburgh, what happens to Baltimore as the playoff standings continue to shake out, and this is now an elongated work week for both the Steelers and the Ravens, and the Steelers are saying, wait a second, we didn't have the outbreak. This is all in the Ravens. Why are we being punished? We were ready to play on Thursday, and now not only do we not play on Thursday, we got to play all the way on Tuesday, and then that affects our future week because the Steelers were preparing for almost a mini bye, having this weekend off and then going forward to next weekend. So that hurts the Steelers moving forward, and they are in a dogfight with the Chiefs for the number one seed in the AFC. Again, maybe there is no home field advantage in the playoffs, but it's still something that you want to lock in because then that gives you a bye, more importantly than maybe where you play in January if there's neutral sites with a bubble. You get that lone bye in the playoffs. Because next week, a week from today, they're going to end up playing Washington. But are you going to play that on a traditional Sunday with only 5 days differential between the Ravens and Steelers game on Tuesday? Probably not. Here are the way the Steelers season shapes up as they are 10-0. Tuesday night against the Ravens at home. Then next weekend against Washington, or sometime against Washington, obviously. That's also at home at Heinz Field. Then they'll travel to Buffalo to take on the Bills on Sunday Night Football. They'll travel to Cincinnati to play the Bengals on Monday Night Football. They're home to the Colts in Week 16, and then at the Browns in Week 17. The Steelers have a legitimate shot at going 16-0. And wouldn't that be the most bonkers, most 2020 situation ever to unfold? That the Steelers go 16-0 and don't play a home playoff game. The Steelers go undefeated and don't have a playoff game at Heinz Field because we're in a bubble. Again, no confirmation yet of a playoff bubble, but with the way things have unfolded this week, with the Ravens-Steelers game being pushed twice, with the Broncos having no quarterbacks, and with the Niners unable to play at home for the rest of the season because of Santa Clara jurisdiction, having no crowds, no contact sports, etc., I don't see how the NFL does not snap a place and a plan into place going into January with the postseason being in a bubble. Seems only right or only logical to try to figure out a way to get that thing done. Here's your schedule for games today. Raiders are in Atlanta to take on the Falcons. The Raiders are 6-4 and absolutely in the mix for a wild card spot in the AFC playoffs. The Chargers and Bills are in Buffalo. Again, an early kick at Bills Stadium in Orchard Park, where the Bills at 7-3 want to keep their hold on the AFC East. That's because the Dolphins take the Jets on from MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. And the Dolphins are 6-4. They're only a game back of the Bills. And playing the Jets, obviously, is almost like having a bye. The Jets are 0-10. But the Dolphins will be without Tua Tagovailoa, who is sidelined with a thumb injury. Ryan Fitzpatrick will start. Well, let's talk about this. Tua Tagovailoa, since taking over the starting reins from Fitzpatrick, has been phenomenal. He has swung from his first start, needing to do nothing and throwing for less than 100 yards, to being one of the most important pieces of the Dolphins' wins the last 2 weeks. So Tua has stepped up, and he has played well. And Tagovailoa has admitted that the transition is a little bit easier than he would have thought from college football to the NFL, which gives every Dolphins fan hope and joy. Wow, we found the guy. We have found the replacement. We finally found the franchise quarterback we've been searching for 20-plus years since Dan Marino finally retired. And yet, he's already injured. And herein lies the biggest concern about Tua Tagovailoa long-term as a viable franchise quarterback for the Dolphins or anybody else. It's that as great as Tua's attitude is, as great as his talent is, as great as his skill is, as wonderful as his resume is of winning, and very obviously he has taken the reins from Fitzpatrick and run with it the last couple of weeks, the big concern and red flag waving across Tua Tagovailoa's resume and potential is the injuries. It's not just the hip. The hip was the most devastating injury that he has suffered. The hip was the biggie because that took him out of the end of last season, ended his season. You'd have to draft him based on speculation where his hip was going to be, what doctors said. But that was only one of multiple injuries that Tua suffered while at Alabama. He had multiple ankle injuries. He had a reported hand injury. He had the hip injury, and now he's got a thumb injury. And so durability has been front and center with Tua. Durability. And I hate to see it because it gives me pause that Tua can be the guy. He's got all the other intangibles and tangibles to make it work. But it doesn't matter if you can't be on the field. It doesn't matter if you're consistently banged up. It reminds me of Jim McMahon back in the 80s for the Chicago Bears. Yeah, his reputation was the punky QB. Yes, his reputation was rogue and renegade. He's a guy that drank beer and partied and caroused and liked late nights and had hangovers, and Mike Ditka and him clashed. But Jim McMahon was the perfect quarterback for the 85 swaggerlicious Super Bowl shuffle Bears. He was a guy that had an attitude and a bravado that the defense loved. He was a guy that when he was in the huddle was a leader and a commander and said, we're going to go ahead and do this. The reason the Bears, the 85 Bears, one of the greatest teams ever, never repeated, never even got back to an NFC championship game, was at least partially because Jim McMahon was never healthy after that. He was always banged up. And so they had to turn to a bunch of other guys that never were the same type of leader that Jim McMahon was. And if a guy like McMahon's inability to stay on the football field can derail a potential dynasty, well, then certainly a guy like Tua Tagovailoa's inability to stay on the football field could derail just a Dolphins franchise trying to get back on its feet. Fitzpatrick played well, and Fitzpatrick maybe didn't even deserve to lose the job. And so perhaps this is poetic justice that the bearded one gets the job back. But if the Dolphins are to take that next step, if Brian Flores is the coach, and I think that he is, and Tua Tagovailoa is the quarterback, Tua's got to stay healthy. And if we're already wondering about if that's a possibility, it makes you wonder what the Dolphins are thinking about going into this offseason. When we come back here on the DA Show, we're continuing to effort Gary Brackett, and Thanksgiving, a low point for the Cowboys. And in the heart of Texas, boy, Tom Herman's feeling the heat. It's next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.